You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, our guest says we have a lot to learn about how we learn. He shares the latest research and advice on how we can learn more effectively.
First, it's no secret that it can be hard to find opportunities that pay you to make art. But there was a time when the U.S. government did just that. Back in the 1930s and 40s, the Works Progress Administration, or WPA, put unemployed Americans to work under the New Deal, and that included artists.
Some WPA art gives a glimpse into one of the most challenging times in American history, the Great Depression. And those works have found a home here in Wisconsin. The Racine Art Museum has its collection of WPA art on display through June 4th. Lena Vigna joins us now. She's the curator of exhibitions at the Racine Art Museum. Lena, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can we start with some background on this initiative to hire artists under the Works Progress Administration?
Sure. So right after the Great Depression, the country was suffering immeasurably, and there were many federal programs to initiate actual job relief, as well as to encourage sort of philosophical and psychological address of what had been going on in the country to get people a little bit more motivated to move forward and to feel like they were being supported in order to do that. So the government, I should say, not without a lot of argument, debate, a lot of the same kinds of conflicts that we might have heard about recently and in the last decades were at play even then. But there was this desire to support artists, not to say build a road, but to actually support them as artists with this notion that what they did could contribute to the greater good. So the government established through the Works Progress Administration and then through things like the Federal Art Project. So you have both the acronyms of the WPA and the FAP, initiatives that allowed artists to produce work, get supplies. They were basically in relief programs with the focus being on art production. And this was visual arts, performing arts. So it was a broad spectrum of performing arts, et cetera, it was a broad spectrum of artistic endeavor.
Now, this idea of a starving artist is still a trope that's in play today. Can you tell us a little more about the federal government's rationale behind hiring artists?
Sure. I think I would add that anybody that was an artist that was a part of this program, it's not as if they were getting rich through this. They were struggling in the same way that other people would be struggling, engineers, construction workers, et cetera, et cetera. But there really was this strong desire to increase positivity on a lot of fronts. And it seemed as if there were enough artists producing and enough artists working and enough support, again, not without some conflict, but enough support to put programs in place that would allow the artists to keep working. And as I was just reading about some things recently, I realized, too, that it wasn't a smooth process by any means. Things that were established at the beginning, which would, say, be in the mid-30s, they were not at play the whole of the run of the WPA. Lots of dynamics changed. States were given a lot of liberty in some respects and then had to, of course, adhere to certain guidelines in other ways. And some states were doing that, say, quote-unquote, better than others, et cetera, et cetera. But there really was this desire to focus on this idea that we need to get past this really difficult place on more than one level. So we need to do that on a cultural level, on a social level, on a basic economic level, et cetera, et cetera.
So this collection that you're exhibiting now is from this work, from the Works Progress Administration. Can you tell us about some of the core pieces in that collection and the scope of what you have?
Absolutely. So when the Racine Art Museum first opened, it was in actually 2003, but our parent institution, the Worcester Museum of Fine Arts, opened in 1941. And the initial director, this is all important because the initial director had come from a WPA program in Michigan. So he was an artist himself, but he was also a part of administrating it. And his wife was also a part of a WPA program called the Index of American Design that had been in play to establish basically a record of decorative craft and art and furniture and design that had been at play in the U.S. since the colonial period. So he was significant in bringing the lens of the WPA to the Worcester Museum, and at that time a gift of 264 pieces came. This includes works on paper, such as watercolor, drawings, prints, photographs, a few paintings, a few small sculpture pieces, and then several pieces from the Wisconsin Handicraft Project, which includes textiles and handmade books and things of that nature that were not produced by artists from the WPA specifically, but from this Handicraft Project directly. That's sort of a subset of the WPA being administered in the state of Wisconsin. So in the exhibition right now, we primarily have the works on paper, multiple watercolors, and series of photographs, and then also selections of textiles from the Handicraft Project.
We're talking with Alina Vigna right now, curator of exhibitions at the Racine Art Museum, and we're talking about art from the Great Depression that's on display now through June 4th at the Racine Art Museum. And, Lena, you mentioned the Milwaukee Handicraft Project. This is something we may not know a lot about. Tell us about that project and what's in it.
Sure. So, in Milwaukee, in the 30s, there was a large population of immigrants, many, many, many people who were not necessarily used to working in the general sphere, like a lot of women. They were not necessarily the breadwinners, but through some of the federal programs that were in play at the time, and then again, federal siphons down to state programs, people who were not necessarily the breadwinners of the households were encouraged to get out to make more money. So the Handicraft Project actually focused on people who wouldn't necessarily normally have been considered for jobs. And while the workers were not art trained, they were, or craft trained specifically, they were put into programs that allowed them to make block printed textiles and wall hangings. They were working through projects that were requests from institutions like nurseries, or sometimes they were making costumes for theater departments, and they would work in teams with designers who were from places around Milwaukee, like a teacher's college, and they were used to addressing large groups of people toward a certain end, like making a project. So the interesting thing about this is that it garnered a lot of attention from people like Frank Lloyd Wright and Eleanor Roosevelt, because it went national, because there were so many people that were involved in the program that were not necessarily on the front lines normally. So it was this way to empower people through work, through craft. And a lot of the people who would start, say, in one division of the Milwaukee Handicraft Project, if they got really skilled, they could be moved into other divisions of the WPA. There were sewing projects, more specific and directed endeavors. And because there was such a need throughout the community for things that would just make life a little bit better. In the nurseries, they were sometimes providing dolls for the young children to learn and also just to have as things that could be a part of their daily existence. Those things weren't necessarily available in other avenues, so the Handicraft Project was put into play and given these tasks to sort of help make things a little bit better.
Big picture, if we look at the pieces of art that came out of the Works Progress Administration, some of these pieces you have on display, if we look at that as a mirror for the psyche of the United States at that time, what do you see? What does it tell us?
It's as complex as you would imagine. There are moments of hope and optimism. There's a focus on workers. Like, say, for example, in our collection, we have three prints by a woman named Elizabeth Olds. Two of them focus on miners, coal miners, et cetera, et cetera. One of them focuses on, it's more of a caricature that looks as if it's these businessmen, sort of fat cats, people concerned with the money side. But again, a broad spectrum of humanity. You have people who are digging in garbage cans. In one print, we have that emphasized. But then in the print that I've displayed right next to it, you have people who are taking in a play. So there is, it does respond to the fact that while you had such a great sort of cloud cast over the country, you also had these moments of production and these desires and hope to sort of move forward and move past what was going on. And it's interesting to note, too, that the artists that were producing, from all I can gather with the WPA, it depended on the different programs through states as to how specific of a request an artist was given. Generally, they're producing the work that they would have normally produced. It's not as if the government said, all of your work has to be about X, Y, and Z subjects. So they were expressing sort of personal concerns, responding to things that were going on sort of globally and culturally, and then also just trying to make their work.
Lena, thank you so much for joining us.
No, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
That was Lena Vigna, curator of exhibitions at the Racine Art Museum. She joined us to talk about art from the Great Depression that's on display now through June 4th.
You can also see the exhibit for free if you go to the museum on one of its free days. The next one's on Friday, April 7th.
Coming up after the news, our guest says we can learn how to learn. He shares the latest research on how to acquire new skills and knowledge and how not to. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.